Hello, beloved, and welcome to our Bible study in Jude. We are busy with our study number 31. Study 31 of our Bible study in Jude. Before we continue, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for your kindness and love towards us. Thank you for a lovely day that you've given us. Father, we pray that as we study your word, that you will please enable us to understand and take to heart what you are telling us, Father, and that we will apply it in our lives and also in the life of the church. And enable me as your servant, Father, to teach your people, I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, now let me just give a quick recap again. You remember that Jude is giving us some different characteristics of false teachers. In verse 4, he gave us four characteristics. And that the one is that these false teachers get into the church, and they get into the church unnoticed, like in stealth mode. They are ungodly, and they turn the grace of God into the means to commit all kinds of sexual immorality and other sins. And then they also deny the different things about Jesus Christ, our Lord, which has been revealed to us in the Word. And then when we get to verse 8, he gives us another four characteristics of these false teachers. He tells us that they are dreamers. They defile the flesh, they reject authority, and they speak evil of dignitaries. They speak evil of angelic beings, things that they really don't know a lot about. All right, and then we've also looked at verse 11. And in verse 11, we saw that these false teachers try to create their own kind of righteousness, their own way of being right with God. Like Cain, you know, when he brought his offering, the way that he saw fit. He thought that was going to be the way that he was going to be right with God. But they're also lovers of money. All right. And then what they will do is they will do anything to get money. And then they also refuse to submit to God. And because they, and this is the interesting one, they refuse to submit to God-given leadership. And what they try to do is to impose their own will on people. And because they cannot submit to leadership that God has put in place, they cannot submit to God. Because it's interesting, the way that we submit to earthly leadership, I'm talking about biblical leadership, né? People who are ordained by God and put in place by God. If we cannot submit to them, then we cannot submit to God. Our submission to earthly leaders, in the sense of, I'm not talking about governments and non-believers, believers, those who have been put in place by God in a biblical way. If we can't submit to them, we can't submit to God. It's our submission to God is a direct reflection, directly reflected by our submission to earthly leadership. It's like a wife. If a wife does not submit to her own husband, then she cannot, or she is not submitting to God. Okay. The way we see that a wife actually submits to God in a Bible-honoring or a God-fearing and Bible-honoring way is if she submits to her own husband. All right. And I believe the same thing is true. If a husband loves his wife with the kind of love that God expects from them, that is a reflection of the fact that he loves God. All right. Now, we get to verse 12. This is what verse 12 tells us. These, speaking about these false teachers, are spots in your love feasts. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds. Late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Right. Quite a mouthful. So Jude tells us that these false teachers are spots, né? When believers partake of communion, when they get together for their love feast. These false teachers are spots. Not like spots, they are spots. They are hidden rocks or reefs under the water as they partake of communion. They are actually dangerous. And believers are warned that these false teachers are dangerous in their love feasts. But then Jude continues to warn us about these false teachers. He says to us that they are clouds without water. They are clouds without water. Now, once again, they're not like clouds without water. They are clouds with no water in them. It's interesting. I don't know if you've noticed, but there are times when you would stand outside, and let's say it hasn't rained for a while, and you really expect rain to come, and you see this dark cloud or group of clouds just coming up, and it's getting closer and closer, and you think to yourself, well, now it is time. It's going to rain. All the indications are, I mean, the cloud is dark. It hangs low, and it looks good. It looks promising. So there's great potential for rain. But then nothing happens. That cloud kind of just gets blown away by the wind. And there's nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, Jude tells us that these false teachers are like those kind of clouds. Those clouds that seems to have a lot of promise. Clouds that seems to have all the characteristics of a true rain cloud. But then the wind just comes and blows it away. And it's gone. You know, so these false teachers are just like that. They promise spiritual life to people. So what they do is they have false teachings about Christ. They have other kinds of false teachings, you know, like prosperity and all these kind of things. So what they do is they come with this great promise. You're going to have a wonderful life as a Christian. Nothing is going to happen to you. God is going to take care of you. You will have this prosperous life and all these kind of things. And then they have false teachings about Jesus Christ and who Jesus Christ is. And they say that we can become little gods like the Word of Faith movement. You know, that kind of thing. So they promise spiritual life. And then they also promise people that they will have this amazing life if they only take Jesus into their heart, or, you know, that kind of thing, if they only believe. But even if they promise spiritual life through their false teachings, there is actually nothing there. There's no substance there. It's all man-centered. It's all self-centered. It's all about what I want and the lust of my eyes and the things that are going to be excellent for me. It's kind of, you want more money? Then take Jesus. He's going to provide for you. He's going to give you as much as you want. You know, that kind of thing. You just need to have faith. You know, false teachers are arrogant in their claims about what they teach. They have this boldness in what they teach. Even though when you really go and look at it, there is no substance there. It's interesting. During the time that I was in the charismatic and Pentecostal movement, we actually had a missionary with us who comes from the Word of Faith movement. She's directly connected with Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And whenever I would confront her with the things that she would say, she would say to me, no, she needs to go back to her teachings. She needs to go and study it. And what she meant by that was she had to go back to Kenneth Copeland's teachings about this. Not what the Scripture says, because I was confronting her with Scripture. And what she was doing was, when she taught people, she was teaching them the rubbish that she was taught. But when you confront her with biblical truth, she can't answer the questions, because what she teaches is not based on Scripture. It's not based on biblical truth. You know, so she will make bold claims and bold statements, but the moment you challenge those claims with reality, then it just doesn't stand the ground. You see, false teachers, they promise their listeners spiritual life. They promise them prosperity, spiritual growth, and all these kind of things, but it's not really biblical. When somebody tries to apply it to their lives, the New Age stuff kind of works, because there is power in positive thinking. There's power in faith, in having faith in things. But there's this problem with false teachers, is they are extremely bold. There's this passage in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 14, where we read, whoever falsely boasts of giving is like clouds and winds without rain. You see, that's where the principle comes from. Somebody who falsely boasts of giving, when he gives, he boasts about it. That person is like a cloud and winds without rain. So it's the clouds that come up that looks good, and then the winds just blow it away. Now, the Apostle John gives a very serious warning in his second letter. In 2 John chapter 1, verse 9 to 11, we read the following. He says, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God." So it's very important what people say about Christ, what people say about Jesus Christ. So he says, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God." So if somebody does not teach the right things about Christ, that person does not have God. This is what John says. But he says, "He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son." Verse 10 says, "If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine," listen to that. If somebody comes to you, anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine of Christ, everything the Bible teaches about Christ. So it must be whatever is said about Jesus is biblical. Then this is what John says. He says, "Do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds." And what are these evil deeds? These evil deeds are false teachings about Christ. Now, remember that Jude warned us about these false teachers in verse 4. And he said that they will deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is what these false teachers are going to do. So you see, beloved, false teachers will bring false teachings about the person and the work of Jesus Christ into the church. And they will teach it to believers. Now, Jude warns us about these people, these false teachers. And John tells us not to have anything to do with them, not even to invite them into our homes, and not to even greet them. You see, because false teachers are actually known by what they say about the person and the work of Jesus Christ. That's how we know somebody is a false teacher. Listen to what they say about Jesus. Well, obviously there's other things as well, but there's fringe stuff that we can agree to disagree on. But when it comes to the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of who Jesus Christ is, what Jesus Christ came to do on this earth, if those doctrines, if someone gets it wrong and they teach wrong doctrine about Christ, that person is a dangerous, dangerous heretic. You see, we need to remember, if you believe the wrong things about Christ, then you actually believe in the wrong Christ. Because what we need to do is, when we believe in Jesus Christ, we need to believe in the biblical Jesus Christ. I cannot make up my own Christ and then say that's the Jesus Christ that I worship. No, I need to believe the right things about Christ, the biblical things about Christ. You see, the thing is that the wrong Christ cannot save. Paul speaks about it in 2 Corinthians 11. He speaks about another Jesus. So what happens is that these false teachers will teach a different Jesus, another Jesus. And what this other Jesus will do is ultimately lead people to hell. That's what will happen. You see, any other Jesus, except the Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the second person of the Trinity, any other Jesus is unable to save. Now, Paul warned the Corinthian believers about another Jesus in his second letter to them. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1 to 4, this is what Paul says. And I need to read the whole thing because it's so important for us to understand what Paul is saying. He says, "Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me." Verse 2, "For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Verse 3, "But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." You see, the Corinthian believers were okay with another Jesus being preached to them by some false apostles. And remember, these false apostles were nothing other than false teachers, because they were bringing in falsehoods about Jesus. They were teaching another Jesus. These Corinthian believers actually put up with false teachers presenting a false Jesus to them. And that was serious. That's dangerous. Now remember, the Apostle John said that we should not even greet or allow any false teachers into our homes. Why? We don't want to listen to another Jesus. We don't want to hear about another Jesus that cannot save. We want to know who Christ is. We want to know all about his person and his work. And it must be from a biblical perspective. It must be what Scripture teaches. And the reason why we shouldn't allow any of these false teachers into our homes and even greet them is because they are dangerous. Just like at the love feasts, now in the first part of this verse, they like rocks and reefs under the water. They are clouds without anything in them. They do not present anything that is actually life-giving. And if they do present something that's life-giving, it is so mixed with error that at the end of the day, it's dangerous. You see, these false teachers are empty of any spiritual food, any spiritual nourishment that is given to God's people. Their food is weak. It's like eating junk food the whole time. They're not giving people solid biblical food. Yes, you see, they are teachers that talk a lot, but their own lives do not even show the kind of fruit which they are supposed to show as teachers of the truth of God's word. All right. It's a mouthful, but Jude doesn't end there. He says in verse 12 that these false teachers are clouds carried about by the winds. Right, so they like these clouds that has promise of rain, but there's no rain in them. There's no water in them. They without substance. They without anything. But they also, when any wind comes, they just blown away. That's who they are, which means they're not solid. And why are they not solid? Because they are teaching falsehood. You see, false doctrine can never ever stand the test of time. False doctrine will always be blown away by another false doctrine. That's why you will see these progressive, God is doing something new. You will hear these people say, oh, God is doing something new now. Oh, God is doing something new again. And when you listen to these false teachers, they always have something else, some new revelation. Oh, God has given this revelation. Then God has given this revelation. Then God has given this dream. And then God has given this vision. Because, and the one just gets blown away by the other. Any kind of wind that comes just blows it away. You see, they are blown all over the place by all kinds of false doctrines. They're not stable in what they believe and what they teach. Paul said to the Ephesian believers in Ephesians 4 verse 14, listen to this, he says that we should no longer be children. That's the Apostle Paul's prayer for the Ephesian believers, that they should no longer be children. Why? Children in the faith, ne? Because children are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So Paul is praying, and it's like a cry, a prayer for the Ephesian believers that they should no longer be children, but that they should grow up. Grow up in what? They need to grow up in doctrine, in understanding biblical truth. Because if they're not going to stand strong in what they believe biblically, and what is biblical truth, they're going to be tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine. Right, and it's these winds of doctrine comes through the trickery of men. Obviously, there's also doctrines of demons. Nah? But that's the problem. So Paul says, we should no longer be children, but we should grow up so that we will be able to discern these false doctrines, but so that we can know good doctrine, biblical doctrine. You see, false teachers are like the wind which tosses the clouds all over the place. Then the clouds can be also like children of God. Or not children of God, but let's say professing believers who believe in these false doctrines, they are also going to be tossed around this way and that way. But false teachers are being tossed around. When there's a false doctrine that comes in, then whoops, off they go after that one. When there's a new one, then oops, they go off after another one. No, we need to be consistent in biblical truth. Now, it's heartbreaking to see how destructive false doctrine is. I mean, people who embrace false doctrine is normally all over the place. They do not have any solid ground from where to work. They are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes along. And it's false doctrines that really shake them up. And it's because they don't know solid biblical doctrine. You see, false teachers will not teach solid doctrine. They will always twist it. And they are tossed to and fro. And I believe anyone who follows their teachings are also going to be tossed to and fro. Now, many years ago, we were involved in a cult-like group. The leader was actually the central figure. Everything revolved around him. And he was the one who heard from the Lord on behalf of everybody in the ministry. And he would have a word for you every week. There's a word for you for this and that and whatever. And you had to follow these words that he got from the Lord. He spent hours in prayer and speaking in tongues. I was sitting outside of his house waiting for to go in one day. And he was praying, and he went right through the night, and he was praying in tongues. And I sat there and I listened for about half an hour nonstop. He would just pray in tongues. Now, I was involved in the translation of the videos that he produced. But the problem was, the teachings in these videos were so false that I really started questioning the truth. I said, listen, please give me the sources where this comes from. Because even the scripture passages have been incorrectly quoted. And what he would do is he would take a principle in the Old Testament that is in the Hebrew language, and he would take the meaning of the Hebrew word and then go and look at the English word in Greek, and then take the meaning of the Hebrew word and apply it to the Greek word. You can't do that. So I was involved in that kind of thing because of my background in Hebrew and Greek. And when I started confronting the truth or these falsehoods, confronting him, I was removed from translating the videos. Because you see, a false teacher doesn't want to be confronted. But every video that came out had another story because he had a new revelation. And whenever he would teach on Sundays, he would teach all kinds of things that really, I would sit there and say, I'll have my Bible open and I just can't find it in Scripture because it comes from revelation knowledge. So we had kind of first-hand experience of a false teacher that taught falsehoods like you cannot believe, but it's always mixed with truth. There's always been this little bit of truth, but it's always mixed. So, and it's dangerous. Now, in our passage, Jude basically gives us a timely warning, to us and obviously to his readers, that false teachers are dangerous. They are empty of any biblical truth. And they get tossed around very easily, and they will also toss the people around with them. And those who follow them will follow the same direction or the same tossing to and fro. So what a beautiful, beautiful warning to us as God's children. Let me close with, let me just get to the passage again. These false teachers, Jude tells us, are spots in our love feasts. While they feast with us, without fear, they serve only themselves. They are clouds without water. It has promise, but there's nothing in there. And they are carried around or about by the winds. Beloved, may the Lord really, really enable us to understand this so that we can be warned beforehand. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we can come to you again, and thank you for your word that is so clear, that gives us warning. I pray that we will be able to discern and be able to embrace biblical doctrine and learn biblical doctrine so that we will be able to see false doctrine from a distance. Enable us, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very, very much for listening. And until next time, God willing, when we continue with our next part of our study, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you His peace. Bye-bye.